everybody. Welcome to the SA Dropkicks Wrestling Podcast. If you happen to be listening for the first time, welcome. My name is KG Animo. And in this episode, myself and my co-host Eugene recount this past Wednesday's AEW Winter is Coming special edition episode, which featured very, very good matches. Four of those, precisely, for us to look into. We saw Wardlow versus Matt Sydal. We saw a no disqualification match between Hikaru Shida and Serena Deeb. We witnessed MJF defeat Dante Martin to become a three-time Dynamite Diamond Ring winner. And then lastly, the match that every single wrestling fan has been talking about, the AEW World Championship match between Hangman Adam Page and the American Dragon Bryan Danielson, which, by the way, ended in a draw. We're going to talk about all these matches and basically give our thoughts on the show and project where exactly AEW is headed going forward into 2022. If that sounds good to you, then make sure you stick around because that's coming up next. Let's get into this show, right? Because I've watched it. That they think, have you? You've watched it, right? Because
yeah, I have.
Yeah. So, AEW Winter is Coming. The show took place on Wednesday, and I don't know if you saw, they opened with this match that everybody's talking about. Let's go through all the matches, just to make sure that we don't miss anything. The show, we're going to go in order of my order. We have Wardlow versus Matt Sydal. Yeah. Or the order.
So forget the show's order.
Forget the show's order, right? We're going to go with, we'll start with Wardlow versus Sean. No, Wardlow versus Matt Sydal. Dude, this match was a squash.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. It was so disappointing.
That's like, Wardlow is such a good, he's an okay performer. Matt Sydal is crazy at his best. At least put on a decent match. Maybe 8-9 minutes.
I'm pretty sure that match was like was less than 5 minutes.
1 minute and 43 seconds.
You're lying.
I'm not lying. I'm looking at the Wikipedia. Well, you can't always trust Wikipedia, but I'm looking at the thing now. 1 minute and 43 seconds. That's how long this match lasted.
That's not very good at all.
The thing is, right? I guess they had to make space for that massive 1 hour match, but you did not have to do Matt Sydal. Like, Matt Sydal does not deserve to be squashed like this. You know what I mean?
Not like that. Yeah.
I get that you want to build, you want to make time, and also you want to build Wardlow, but you do not have to put Matt Sydal through this. Like, you could have
been someone else.
You could have done this to Fuego del Sol. You could have done this to Luther, or, okay, well, not Luther because he's massive, but you could have done this to Serpentico, or, like, you did not have, like, Matt Sydal. Goodness me.
I just want to know what the point of the match was, you know. I know that they had, like, they came, like, they had a thing happening between them in that Royal Rumble match.
Yeah, the Battle Royal. They crossed paths in the Battle Royal, and then I didn't even know what happened there.
Me too. That's why I'm surprised that this match was even happening in the first place.
I don't even get it either.
Even the ending, did you see what happened? They just look over Wardlow's win.
Yeah. That's crazy. I get it, right? But yeah, this is maybe the weakest part of the show. That's what I will say. That's maybe the weakest part of the show. And the thing is, Matt Sydal is so talented, man. Like, people often, like, when you think of high flyers in modern wrestling, people always go to Rey Mysterio and Will Ospreay and Ricochet. And, you know, people always look at those guys. And it's like, Matt Sydal was, like, Matt Sydal was Ricochet before Ricochet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Evan Bourne was Ricochet before Ricochet. Like...
And Matt Sydal at Impact, he was fantastic there.
Oh, yeah. I love this run. I think we've spoken about Matt Sydal in Impact Wrestling. He was great. He was great. Yeah.
So I'm just saying people need to give him his flowers, you know?
Yeah. This is a guy that deserves to have his flowers. Like, this man has not been given the credit that he deserves. Right? Fine. I'll admit it. Is he a big star? Is he a drawing star? Is this the kind of guy you're going to build a promotion around? No, right? But is he a doomed mid-carder? Maybe. But to just do this to him is just disrespectful.
Nah, I agree with you there.
Yeah, I don't know
how he's feeling right now.
Yeah, I don't even know how I can even... 1 minute and 43 seconds, right?
Because... What? Like, he had... God. There are a few things in the matches that no one has been able to do to Wadlu, right?
Yeah.
But then the Power Bombs game.
Power Bomb Symphony. Like, I was watching the YouTube highlights, which is literally the whole match. Because it's like 1 minute, right? It's like 1 minute. It's shorter than a YouTube short. And
be nice.
what can I say? But yeah, Wardlow just power bombs this guy. It looked like he was trying to break the ring. He was trying to bust a hole through the middle of the ring.
Wardlow is so intense.
He is. He is. And if they book him right, like, I'm hoping they do the story where he gets sick and tired of MJF and betrays him. Because I think that's what's going to send... That's the feud that's going to send him into stardom.
Hopefully that happens.
Yeah. Because that's the only way I see this guy becoming a star. Is if he feuds with MJF and both guys get, like, feud of the year or something like that.
It will probably stop with Sean Spears or something like that, you know, because you saw how yesterday I looked at him.
Yeah. Sean Spears is the key here. Yeah, Sean Spears is the key here. So we'll have to see how things go on that side. But yeah, an absolutely crazy, dreadful match. Like, not dreadful in performance, but just the way that Matt Sydal was treated here. Crazy.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's move on to the second match on my pecking order.
On your list.
On my pecking order. We're going to go to...
Just, like, neglected the shows.
Yeah, like shows, screw this. Order. This is my... This is our podcast, right? Or do you disagree with my order? Because I'm going to go with Hikaru Shida.
No.
Okay.
I agree with you. Yeah,
okay. If we both agree, then that's fine. Hikaru Shida versus Serena Deeb, which was meh, you know what I mean?
It was better than Wardlow.
It was definitely better than Wardlow versus Matt Sydal, but it was like, okay. And you know what the thing is with all these matches, with these three matches that came after the championship match, it's like, you know, these matches could have been longer because Wardlow versus Matt Sydal went 1 minute and 43 seconds. Hikaru Shida versus Serena Deeb was 12 minutes and 46 seconds, which is a decent, like, it's decent for TV, but you know, these women could have gone 20 minutes easily.
Yeah, they could have.
Yeah.
Was it a normal match or was there stipulation?
It was no DQ. So...
They look like they hated each other.
This is the third match, and it was the rubber match because Serena Deeb won the first one. She knocked Hikaru Shida. No. Serena Deeb won the first one. She stopped Hikaru Shida from reaching 50 wins. And then Serena, no. What did I say? I said Serena stopped her, right? Serena won the first match by stopping Hikaru Shida from reaching 50 wins. And then Hikaru Shida won the next match. She eliminated Serena Deeb from the TBS Championship tournament. And then, so this was their third match.
And this match came from the fact that Serena Deeb cost her spot in the TBC, right? Because she won,
Yeah, in the T in the
and then she targeted her knee.
yes. And then yeah, all of this led up to this match, which was not a bad match. I mean, these two women are great in the ring. Serena Deeb is incredible. Hikaru Shida is decent. But again, they could have gone 20. You know they could have. They just had to make time for that big main event. Or well, the big I don't even know what to call this championship match because it's the main event, but it was first on the show. You know what I mean?
That threw me off, you know. That
Yeah,
threw me off.
they had a decent match. The finish of this match was
Started off
weird.
well.
Yeah, it started off very well. The finish was weird because I don't know if you saw the finish. Serena Deeb unhooks the turnbuckle pad, right? So now you just have the steel of the turnbuckle, and she tries to send Hikaru Shida through that turnbuckle and get the win. Apparently, that's like a really, because like I've never seen anybody kick out once they hit. You know, it's crazy to think about it. Like, that is a better match ender, like smashing someone's face into the exposed steel of the turnbuckle, than what like a dangerous finisher.
Is it to you?
Because, like, I've seen people kick out of Canadian Destroyers and, you know, Phoenix Splashes and crazy pile drivers, but I've never seen anyone kick out after being, you know, slammed face first into the exposed steel. I've never, like, maybe I can go back and remember a few times, but, like, it's so rare that someone kicks out of a turnbuckle, out of the turnbuckle steel. If I can put it that way,
Yeah,
it's
I can't really
crazy.
explain. Why do you think that is, though?
I have no clue. I'm like, if anyone knows why, like, if anyone can explain, anyone listening to this can explain to me why, like, I'd love to know why. It's crazy.
I get it, but I just want to know why.
Yeah. Like surely, like if I slam someone's head onto a piece of steel, that wouldn't be as dangerous as spiking their head first into the canvas.
Exactly.
So, again, it's just one of those things that about wrestling that you really just tend to overlook sometimes, but is actually pretty illogical.
Yeah, but Serena Deeb did put in a beating on Kairushida.
Yeah, she did. She gave her a beating. These two women hate each other. They went at each other. Yeah, but you, another thing I want to say about this match is this match went 12 minutes, right? Even at 12 minutes, this is still longer than some of the women's matches in WWE. Like a match on Raw or SmackDown that doesn't involve the four horsewomen won't go 10 minutes. It won't. It just won't. Unless it's like a massive multi-woman tag. Right? If it doesn't involve the four horsewomen or Bianca Belair
Aria.
or Rhea Ripley, it won't go more than 10 minutes on TV.
That's very interesting that you bring that up.
And like Raw is 3 bloody hours. SmackDown is 2 hours.
Yeah, especially on Raw, a lot of like short matches happen
Yeah.
when they could be longer.
Yeah. And again, I wasn't gonna say this because maybe it's not the topic of the episode, but you notice in AEW how it's like you make it onto the show, you're gonna get given the time. Right? If you work hard enough to make it onto the show, you get given the time. Whereas in WWE, it's like, well, we gotta get every single, well, we have people here. Let's just put them and let's just give them something to do to fill the time. Where it's like, we're going to get everybody to fill up the time, and then we say to fill up, like, we're going to give time to the people that matter, and then everybody else will share this tiny bit of time because they don't matter. They do a 20-minute segment featuring Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns, and it's like there's not enough time for everybody else on the show. Whereas,
because Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar,
which I can understand. I understand that.
Which does make sense, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just noting the differences. Whereas in AEW, they can have four matches, but it's like those four matches deserve to be on the show. Whereas in WWE, they can have 5-6 matches or even 7 matches on Raw or a pay-per-view. Or
filler matches.
Or filler matches, and it's like, well, we just have to get everyone on the show, which is not a bad thing. Sometimes you do need to fill that time. I'm not bashing any company here. Let's just make this clear. We're not bashing any company, right?
Yeah, not at all.
Yeah, we're just outlining the differences.
Pointing out the differences.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This match went 12 minutes and 46 seconds. It was good. The finish was weird for reasons we've mentioned before, but it wasn't a bad match. Let's just say that. It was a very decent women's TV match. It was great. And then we move on. Shall we move on?
Yeah, let's move on.
Because I have a lot of things to say about this next match. MJF versus Dante Martin.
Wait, can we talk about before the match started? Did you see that?
MJF's promo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let's do that. I can't remember exactly what he said, but... maybe you can
name drop.
Oh yeah, name dropping Ryback. Now I do. Oh man. sometimes, you know what's crazy about the CM Punk MJF feud? Sometimes you don't want to watch, you don't want to see the pay-per-view match. At this point, I would be happy if MJF and CM Punk just kept on exchanging shots for the next 10 weeks. It's fine if I don't get to see a pay-per-view match. Just let these two cut promos on each other. Until 2025.
I agree with you. I'm not going to complain. I'd listen to this on the mic anytime.
Exactly. It's just let them cut promos. I don't want to see the match. Because these two are so good.
There's no need for the match. There's no need for the match.
Exactly.
Just give them the mic.
Just give them the mic and let them rip into each other for the foreseeable future. Let's just do that instead.
Do you recall CM Punk's promo in Long Island?
Yes, that one I do.
I like how MJF targeted the fact that all CM Punk, and I'm glad he did this, all CM Punk kind of did in the promo was talk about the sports team, because that's the only thing the crowd was reacting to.
Exactly. He's basically, he calls Punk out. He's like, Punk called him out for going for the lowest hanging fruit. And then he comes out in Long Island and starts talking about sports teams and how they suck. I was like, don't you have any good material anymore? You know what I mean?
And he sarcastically applauded him.
Yeah. And he wore that shirt. And the promo before that, he was wearing that. I don't know if it's the promo before that or this one. Or the one in Long Island where he wore that shirt. That Four Pillars shirt.
It was in Long Island when it's like, oh, it's getting a bit warm in here.
Yeah, it's getting a bit hot in here. And he took off his hoodie, and it showed the shirt of the Four Pillars with Britt Baker replacing MJF as the fourth pillar.
That was funny.
I love it. You know, that just shows you can make a shirt out of anything and people will buy it. You can make a shirt, you can sell, you can make money from anywhere. Just make a shirt, grab and, take something that's getting attention, make a shirt out of it and sell it and make money. That's crazy to just think about.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, let's get to this match. Or do we still want to talk about Punk? Because I'm not Punk. Punk wasn't on this episode, was he?
It was. Remember, he comes after the match.
Oh, he came after the match. Okay, yeah, I remember. Him and let's talk about the match first. So, again, decent match, right? Dante Martin is just incredible. MJF is, again, world class. And I love how MJF is going back to that headlock takeover. He beat Darby Allin. He beat Darby Allin with a headlock takeover, and now he's gonna try and tried to beat Dante Martin with a headlock takeover. This match.
I like how you with such confidence, like I can beat you with a headlock takeover.
Like in the book of wrestling moves, in the original wrestling moves textbook, if it exists, there would be page 1. Headlock takeover, page 1 would be the roll up, but page 2 would definitely be like, it's the most basic of wrestling moves.
Just trying to embarrass you with the basics.
Yeah, like if I trained to be a wrestler, that's the first move I learned. You know what I mean? That's the first move I learned. If that's the first move you'd learn if you were training to be a wrestler, either the roll up or the headlock takeover.
I'll say taking a bump is one of them too. Should be up there.
Okay, so page 1 would be taking a bump. No, page 1 would be running the ropes. Page 2 would be taking a bump. Page 3 would be the headlock, would be the roll up. Page 4 would be the headlock takeover.
Did you learn it successfully?
I think I did okay. Like, I'm not gonna lie. but That's how these things go.
And the fact that he's so proud about it, you know?
He's so proud of it, dude. And now he's a 3-time Diamond Ring winner.
This is the third time.
Third time. Last year, he beat, I think it was Hangman Page last year. And then in 2019, he beat... Who did he beat in 2019? Let me just look this up because I can actually find out who he beat. So actually the winner of the runner up in 2019 was actually Hangman Page, and then last year he beat Orange Cassidy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Now I remember he beat Orange Cassidy last year. And then, yeah, 3 on the trot. 3 straight diamond rings for MJF. And I got a weird question about this one. Does he get a new one every year, or does he just keep the one that he won in 2019?
I think it's a new one.
Yeah, right? It's a new one. I don't think they pass it around like the championships.
Looked new.
It looked brand new. Apparently, it's worth $100. I just read here it's worth $100,000. Not sure how true that is, but you can imagine how expensive that is.
It sounds like it fits MJF's personality.
Really, yeah, actually. Like name a guy who would spend $100,000 on a ring besides Jake Paul. MJF would do it.
Yeah.
So no surprises there. And then after the match,
What did you think of MJF's opponent?
Oh, Dante Martin. I think he's great, but like the thing with high flyers is the high flyers are a niche. They're like an acquired taste. When you think of someone being a future star in the wrestling business, you have someone who, for some reason, has to have everything. This person has to be good at everything. He has to be good on the mic. He has to be good in the ring, like on the ground. He has to have perfect psychology, right? And that's why it's one of the reasons MJF is so highly rated, right? Because he can talk, he can wrestle, he can do all these things. Dante Martin is like, as a high flyer, it's it's sort of a ceiling. It's great that he can do all these crazy stunts, but like being a high flyer,
like he's in a box.
Yeah, you're put in a box. And it's like, oh wait, you're Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio is great. He's one of the greatest of all time. But how much more legendary would he be if he was maybe better on the mic? Just imagine Rey Mysterio being better on the mic, or he would be like massively, like a lot more celebrated, right? But the fact that you're sort of in a box and you're not really as, you're a master of one trait, but really a jack of just, you're a master of one trait rather than a jack of all trades. And that's the thing with Dante Martin.
I do get your point that you're driving.
Yeah. That's my take on it.
But we do enjoy high flies, though. Don't get that.
Yeah, high flies are great. Like, who doesn't like a good? Did you see the shooting star press he did to the outside?
That was crazy.
I mean, he almost hurt himself more than he did MJF, because he lands on MJF.
That's the only thing that sucked, though.
And then he face plants, and it's like, I'm thinking, oh great, he caught MJF. Ooh, I hope he's okay.
He caught
MJF with his knee and then just landed on his face. Luckily, he was okay.
He
looked
fine.
Yeah.
Fine.
Luckily, he was able to continue.
Adrenaline.
Yeah.
Because remember, that was the fourth time he flew out of, because every time he threw MJF back in the ring, MJF would roll out.
Yes. Yes. MJF tried to get away from him. But the match ended with a submission. Thank goodness. We got a submission finish on this pay-per-view. So that was great. I love submission finishes. Like, I used to hate them because I thought they were like anticlimactic, but like I love a good submission finish nowadays.
Well, for me it depends what kind of submission,
Yeah. He locked it. I think it was a Fujiwara armbar. He calls it the salt of the earth. Really, really good submission move. Right? Because he's the salt of the earth. Like, arrogant character. So,
yeah.
I think that would...
And when I saw FTR come and celebrate, I was like, that's a bit weird.
Yeah, FTR came out. Although, they're in the pinnacle. So, I even forget that's a stable nowadays. So, the pinnacle is still a thing. FTR come out and celebrate. They beat the crap out of Dante Martin. And then who comes to the ring? Sting and CM Punk come to the ring.
Darby
comes to the ring. Sting comes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they both come to the ring. Punk comes to the ring. And they do the whole spot where the babyfaces get rid of the heels. And the babyfaces stand tall in the ring. And the heels are like, I'm going to get you for this. You will never, ever do this to me again. Like, it's a weird spot in professional wrestling.
Then CM Punk drop a bomb. He's like, so you don't want to do this one on one?
Oh yeah.
We'll do it in a group.
Yeah, he's like, you bring your friends.
Like, you don't have a choice now.
Yeah, you bring your friends. I'll bring mine. Type of deal. And I'm really looking forward to this. We're gonna see a good tag. I think we're gonna see a good tag match. I don't know when that's taking place though. I think it's next week on Dynamite, but this week on Dynamite. So we'll have to see where that goes. Anything else to say about this?
Ellen and Punk faced each other.
Yeah. Anything else after this that you want to talk about before we move on to? You want to say anything else about this match before we move on to what we're here for?
Nothing that we haven't both said. So
yeah.
We can move on.
Let's move on to this match, because goodness me.
Our main event,
yes. The opening match of the show, which you can understand for obvious reasons.
Make it make sense. Yeah, like to the listeners, like,
so
why?
Basically,
the title match.
The reason this match opened the show, this world championship match opened the show, was because it went 60 minutes, right? And if you're going to put the longest match on the show first, you're going to have enough time for that match in particular. So you would rather, so the thing is, as a promoter, you would rather have the longest segment or match come on first. That way you get that out of the way and you have, and then with whatever time is left, you can sort of fit the other things in. It's like, it's sort of like, you know, when you're writing a test or when you're taking a test or taking an exam, you got your mini, you got your questions on the side, you know, you got your 10 mark question, your 10 point questions, your 13, your 5 point questions, your, you know, 3 point questions. And then you got your massive 12 or even 20 point question. You get the most difficult task out of the way, and then you can focus on the other small things. That's exactly what the structure of the show was. Get this massive 60-minute match out of the way, and then fill the time with whatever you have planned afterwards. So if anyone listening to this, that's why they did it that way. It just makes sense logistically. And so this match, right, Bryan Danielson challenging Hangman Page for the AEW World Championship. What did you think of this match? I want to ask you first.
I enjoyed it. I didn't expect it to go long.
Yeah.
I'm glad that it did.
Well, so here's the thing, right? I knew this match was going to go long. Not as long as it did, but I knew they were going to go long. Because first thing, the first 5 minutes is spent like, you know, similar to the Omega Danielson match where they like, they stalled for like, they didn't stall per se. They just let the fans.
It was like a long feeling out process.
Yeah, a long and extended feeling out process where Danielson is ducking Hangman and Hangman's getting frustrated and Danielson is doing, he's doing jumping jacks in the ring. Like what the hell is that?
Antagonizing.
Yeah, this guy is doing jumping jack. You can just tell that he's having fun in AEW. Like he's putting on classic match after classic match, but he's having so much fun in AEW.
Yeah.
So crazy.
Yeah, because it's very different. The AEW and WWE is two different things.
Yeah.
They're not run the same.
Yeah. And this guy is just having the time of his life. But he's also, like I said, he's wrestling some of the best matches in AEW history. And when I saw this opening feeling out process, I thought, okay, this match is going 30, 35 minutes max. Because you can very quickly speed things up if you need to. And then for some reason, they just kept going. Like, they weren't picking, like 10 minutes into this match, they weren't even picking up the pace. 20 minutes into this match.
At the beginning.
Yeah, and then 20 minutes into watching this match, I'm like, okay, guys, what's going on here? Like, are you gonna get to the finish? And like, I'm thinking, okay, this match is not as good as I thought it was gonna be. It's just gonna be an average 4-star match. Okay, fine. And then at one point, for some reason, I keep watching, and then at some point, Taz on commentary starts saying, "Ladies and gentlemen, we're 40 minutes into this match." And I'm like, there's no way I've been watching for 40 minutes. You know what I mean? I'm like, how is this? There's no way I've been watching for 40 minutes. And then I see the time on the video, and it's like 46 minutes. And I'm like, I've been sitting at this desk watching this for 46 minutes. This match has really gone that long. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was a very slow pace.
Yeah. Very, very slow pace. I'm like, but it's a slow burn. Like when you eat a hot chili and then when you take the first chew and it's like, okay, fine. This is not as hot as I thought it was going to be. And then the flavor kicks in. You're like, oh, wow, this is really hot. That's exactly what this match felt like. Because as soon as I heard...
When As soon as you heard?
As soon as I heard Taz say that, like, this 40 minutes into this match, I was like, wow, these guys have been going. And then the match just...
Where's the time gone?
Yeah, and then the match just went into outer space from there. The bleeding...
When did it get busted open?
I think it was before or after that 40-minute call. Somewhere, like, maybe 5 minutes before or after. Hangman gets busted open. He goes
I think him getting busted open took the match next level.
Yeah. That took the match next... That was great. It took the match into a different level. It made sense. The psychology as well. Like, Bryan Danielson attacks... He attacks that open wound, that cut, that bleeding spot. And then sort of Hangman has to find a way to cut Bryan Danielson off. And then Danielson kicks the steel post. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, I did.
He kicks the steel post, and now his leg's busted. And now he starts selling the leg. And then Hangman is selling just fatigue. He's tired. He's just like 40 minutes into this match. You have to be tired.
Bryan was targeting the midsection.
Yes. Because, you know, you need the core to hit the buckshot and the arm. Because he needs both the core and that arm, the lariat arm for the buckshot lariat.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, this match was great. I like how the finish of this match. The bell rang literally just after Hangman hit the buckshot. And it was like Hangman was going to retain his title if it wasn't for the bell. Bryan Danielson was literally saved by the bell.
That's the thing about that ending. We'll never know.
You'll never know. Would he have kicked out or not? You know what I mean? That was crazy.
I can put money on that Daniel Bryan is going to drive that point home.
Yeah, he's going to be like, or maybe Hangman is going to drive that point home. He's like, I would have beaten you if it wasn't for the time. You are out. I had you beat. But according to Tony Khan, according to Tony Khan, Danielson is still the number one contender. So hopefully we get a rematch somewhere down the line. Like, I'm not the biggest fan of time limit draws, but if you look at this time limit draw, Bryan Danielson has two classic matches in AEW has two classic Bryan Danielson matches in the back pocket. Cause now you still have the rematch. You can still do the rematch with Kenny Omega when he returns. And now you can still do the rematch for the championship with Hangman.
Yes, you can.
That's like
they're also trying to keep Daniel Bryan undefeated.
Yeah, because he has been undefeated since coming to AEW, and so it's a smart booking decision. Like, it's really smart, which is not what you can't say the same thing about WWE, can you? It's a really
don't hate you, WWE.
I'm not hating. I'm just pissed off about Liv Morgan not winning the Raw Women's Championship. But you know what? It's fine. I'm still pissed off. But anyway, yeah, I'm like that girl who was like so pissed. I love this match. I gave this match 5 stars. By the way, I gave this match 5 stars before Meltzer gave it 5 stars. Before Meltzer gave it 5 stars on the record. Like, I watched this match on Wednesday. I watched the match on Wednesday in 240p, because that's the only recording I could find. And I gave it 5 stars. And then Meltzer came out with his star ratings and gave it 5 stars. And I'm proud of that, by the way.
Because you know your stuff.
I know my stuff, man. That's all I'm going to say. That's...
Your stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Put respect on your name.
Exactly. Exactly. I know a good wrestling match.
When it comes to anything wrestling, you better put respect on your name.
Yeah, and your name too, man. Like, I can, like, I will.
You the most.
Yeah.
You know more than me. I'll admit that, but I also know just a bit. You know, I'm learning every day.
Yeah.
Oh man.
This was great. I like.
Can I suggest something?
Yeah, sure.
Because Daniel Bryan has two classic matches, like you said. And he never lost both of them.
Yeah.
Maybe a triple threat at All Out. Just putting it out there.
Ooh.
Just putting it out there.
I'm not a fan of the triple threat, I'll be honest. Like, a triple threat is one of those things that you gotta do it right. Like, if you do it, you gotta do it.
If it's done right.
If it's done right. Like, triple threats are like eggs.
Remember the triple threat match that Bryan had at WrestleMania with Roman and Edge?
Yes. That was done right.
Yeah, that was done right. Because, you know, I didn't even know. Sorry, I'm going off topic. Sorry,
no worries.
I'm talking about WWE, but I just wanted to mention that, like, after the match, like, a month after the match happened, right, then I realized that they were all injured, you know?
Going into the match.
No, like, they're all at their certain parts of their life.
Oh, yeah.
They all had to, like, stop wrestling.
Exactly.
So, basically, we were never supposed to have that match. So
yeah.
That really blew my mind. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, right. This match wasn't supposed to happen, but here we are.
And it's happening at WrestleMania in the main event for the biggest championship. Crazy.
Yeah, that was mad.
That was great.
If AEW can book Kenny, Daniel Bryan, and Hangman like that, then it won't disappoint the All Out.
No, it won't.
Just putting it out there.
Maybe even before All Out, maybe do another triple threat at Double or Nothing. Or maybe Revolution. No. Let's say Double or Nothing. Because
Double or Nothing is kind of like the WrestleMania.
Yeah, it's like AEW's WrestleMania. It's maybe the biggest show of the year. Or maybe not. Like, All Out this year was crazy. May have taken that reputation.
Apparently, no. Winter's Coming is the highest one. Like, I heard, I'm not sure if it was Tony or someone on commentary mentioned it, that this is the highest pay-per-view.
Yeah, it was Tony Schiavone who mentioned that this is the highest, was it grossing or highest watched pay-per-view? I don't know. Not pay-per-view, like just...
High as something.
Yeah. So, maybe highest TV episode of the year or something. I don't know. I have to go do research on that one. But what an episode, man. What an episode of Dynamite.
Yes, it was like to start off the pay-per-view with an hour match, which I think is already difficult to even be wrestling for more than 20 minutes.
Yeah, it has to be.
Like, there's not a lot of people that can go an hour.
There isn't. I can think of just a few. But yeah, it was great, man. Ladies and gentlemen, that is going to be it for this episode. We really hope you enjoyed it. If you stuck around till the end, thank you so very much. We really appreciate it. If you did enjoy it, make sure you stick around even more, as we'll be bringing more episodes your way. If you'd like to follow us on social media, you can do so on Instagram at Dropkicks Wrestling Podcast or on Twitter at Dropkicks_SA. As always, let us know what you thought, whether or not you agreed with our opinions. And DM us on Instagram, tweet at us. We would love to talk wrestling with you. Till next time, stay safe and God bless.